than nothing.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Squat Cobbler. I'm Kelly Toole, at K-E-L-L-Y-T-H-U-L on Twitter.
And I am Mike, at Official Pagan on everything.
And Mike and I are out Alice Cooper stuff to talk about, so we're working to say what else can we do, because we really enjoy this format and talking through music. And so we came up with a concept that this is the inaugural episode of, which is what we're basically calling a musical prisoner exchange, where I'm going to recommend an album that I'm passionate about that Mike's not familiar with, and we'll discuss it. And that's what we're going to do tonight. And then the next show will be flipping that, and Mike will have recommended an album to me that he's very passionate about that I don't have familiarity. And we'll go through and we'll do kind of the Alice thing, where it's a track-by-track discussion of the album and what we thought. So I'm pretty fired up to do this. I think it'll be fun. How about you, Mike?
I'm actually really excited. You know, as we were winding down with the Alice stuff, there was a part of me that's like, man, I'm really going to miss doing this. Like, I like Kelly and I talk about music a lot, and we were talking about music together before we were talking about it on the show, from recommendations and then just things off air. Like, you had told me about Bisto Blanco and different things like that, and I had sent you some links to music at different points. And like, it was just really great to kind of sit and discuss music. And it was awesome to see people reacting to that, even if it was negative, like in the case of Killer. And of course the infamous fuck your beard guy. But you know, we love talking about music together. We love the Alice stuff. You guys seem to like hearing us talk about music. So when Kelly came up with this idea, this is perfect, I think. And I could really see, and this is sort of the plan, but of course, you know, we want your guys' input and stuff too, but I can really see this being a major part of our format moving forward.
And we still stay open also to taking requests. So if you want to kind of throw a prisoner into consideration, fair warning, Mike, recently recorded a Nurture and Support with our good friend Mel. She at the tail end said, well, do you guys take requests? And I was like, well, absolutely, we'll take requests. So she is combing through her catalog.
Yes. And some cello music is coming our way.
I don't know. That's what I was wondering, but it could be. I mean, there's about a 50-50 chance, given her music collection, it'll be cello based, but we'll see.
You know, at some point I would love to, whether it's on here or if you guys ever invite me back to Nurture and Support. I can't remember if I said anything bad the last time. If you guys ever invite me back to Nurture and Support, I would love to do one more recommendation, because I have a recommendation that I think Mel would really like because there's cellos in it. So at some point I need to make that recommendation just for Mel. But beyond that, like, I love talking about music with you. I think this is a great idea. I hope people are really into it. I think they will be, because a lot of people really responded to the Alice stuff. And what I think could be really cool is not just introducing new music to each other and hopefully to the listeners, but also I would love to get recommendations from people, and not just recommendations that are obvious, like, you know, throwing goth records in for me or similar to the stuff that, you know, that Kelly likes. But it would be really cool to me if somebody recommends something that neither of us have ever heard, and just have no knowledge of, and just go into it as a total blank slate.
Yeah, I think that'd be fantastic. And we certainly will take the recommendation. And if you're so inclined and would like to come on, and we talk about Sherpa duties, there's somebody who kind of leads you through the album. If you'd also like to come on and give us a little bit of context why you picked the album, and then you can kind of lead us through and we can kind of offer our perceptions, you're also more than welcome to do that as well. So speaking of that, let's go ahead and get started. And our first album we're going to do this with was released way back in 1980 by a gentleman named Tonio K. Tonio is one of my first recommendations on Nurture and Support when I was young and foolish, and just recommended, listen to any Tonio K because he's awesome, and not recognizing that I can do a lot of recommendations if I just start going album by album. So I've learned my lesson there, and typically just don't recommend an artist anymore. But this is his second album. It's called America with the K. I've been mentioned on the Nurture and Support episode, and I believe at some other point with Mike on one of our shows, when Stereo Review used to do album reviews. And when his first album came out, Life in the Food Chain, I think Steve Simonson was the main reviewer, and he declared it the greatest album ever made. Then America came out, and he declared that this is the greatest album ever made. And then I don't know when he stopped doing it, but both of these first two albums got that declaration.
Puts a lot of pressure on the third Tonio K album.
It does. It's like, man, I don't know if I can do that again. But you may hear more about Life in the Food Chain at some point in time in this format. But picked America because they kind of described it. I believe this is I don't know. I really like A Life in the Food Chain quite a bit, but I think ultimately this is my favorite Tony Okeh album, and I like a lot of his stuff. And it's just one that a lot of people are not familiar with. They talked about in Life in the Food Chain, so this guy thinks that hell's going to a handbasket, and then as he described his new album, and he realizes it's happening a lot faster than he thought. And so there's there's kind of a freneticness, kind of ironic dismay that kind of runs through this album in a lot of ways. It's some great music. It's fun. And there's some stuff pretty intriguing overall. So I thought there's a lot of good quality stuff here that Mike would enjoy if he wasn't familiar. It's one of the reasons I picked it. And mostly I really, really wanted to talk to Mike about the MERS Suite, which occurs at the very end of this, at the end of this album, its initial release. We'll talk more about that as we get there. The MERS Suite at the end, which is a melody of Let Us Join Together in a Tune, Umori and Fut Fut Fut. It's something I think is pretty, pretty cool. And I'm super interested to hear Mike's reaction to that when we get to it. So any top line reaction before we get started?
Okay. So prior to your recommending it, because I had heard you recommend Tony Okeh on the Nurture and Support episode you're talking about, so I was kind of vaguely familiar. And then on a Squat Cobbler, ironically, a Squat Cobbler where you recommended a Tony Okeh album and I recommended a Vond album. And I actually went and listened to some tracks off of that album. So that is the most knowledge that I thought I had coming into this of Tony Okeh. I didn't know who he was. I didn't really know a lot of his background. I really had only heard of him through you. And then I listened to a few tracks from the compilation album that you would recommend it. Going through this though, so I really didn't know what to think coming into this. And I tried normally, so I'm a huge music nerd, as Kelly is, and as anybody who listens to this would know. I love researching albums. I love reading liner notes. I love finding out who played on everything, who did everything. As we discussed with the Alice albums though, I tried, like, we would do our research, but I would try and stay away from reviews because I didn't want to. Now, Kelly and I are obviously pretty steeped in the Alice stuff. We have our own thoughts and opinions and theories on the Alice albums, and nobody's really going to change those. But I didn't want to accidentally repeat something that somebody said just because I agreed with it. I wanted everything to sort of be an original thought. With this, what I was a little bit worried about was any kind of information coming in. I wanted to be as close to a blank slate as I could be, other than the few tracks that I had listened to from Kelly's recommendation. However, when I came into it, one of the things I was really surprised by was I am familiar with one of the songs on this album. I had heard it before. Separate from your recommendation, I was just not aware that it was Tony Okeh.
Which one was that?
Hold on a second. I will have to pull up the track listing here. It was Cinderella's Baby.
Interesting. That wouldn't have been, yeah. That wouldn't have been the one. I don't know if that was actually, he was not a big singles guy per se. He did,
I
mean, actually.
So I listened to this. I listened to it a few times and I was streaming it on Apple Music. And on Apple Music, they put little stars next to like the most popular tracks off the albums, like just in case you just want to sample something and before you jump into the whole album. That is not one of the starred songs. So I don't believe it's a single, but I have heard that song before.
Excellent. And so when do we want to, because you were not familiar, there was a kind of a little thing that kind of went on with the track list. And you want to kind of save that till we get to the end of MERS Suite to talk about, or you want to kind of take care of that now?
Well, I already mentioned Apple Music, so I might as well kind of just throw it out there now. So apparently at some point this, because I wasn't familiar and because I didn't do too much research or background into this, because I didn't want to be swayed by anything, I wanted to make up my own opinion, I didn't realize I was listening to a reissued version of the album that had two additional tracks on it. They're actually really good songs, but it did actually throw me a little bit because the two songs are tacked on to the end. And these aren't like throwaway tracks. These are decent songs. It's just that the album comes to its logical conclusion when you're listening to it. Then there's these other two songs that don't quite fit thematically or sonically with the rest of the album. Again, good songs, but they do seem a little out of place. So now, prior to us doing this, I went on Tony Okeh's website and I was trying to get some information and things like that. Because now, you know, I've already made my notes. My opinions are set on this thing. And then I realized that these are not actually part of the album proper. And I didn't know that because I avoided doing research first.
Yeah, cool. And there are two really solid tracks. They were on the compilation album I recommended, but they're really good. And my assumption is they were not included, not because of their quality, but there's a vibe with America, and they don't kind of hit that groove like the rest of it does. So still very good songs, but just slightly different in tone and delivery, but they're good stuff. So
yeah, they're both really good songs. Like, these are not throwaway songs. It's just tonally they don't quite fit. And the one in particular, I'll Wait Here, which comes after the end of the actual album, I really, really like that song. That's a song I'm going to listen to again and again. I really, really liked it, but it actually, to me, works better separate from this album.
Excellent. Well, we shall begin our path through Tony Okay's America. And it doesn't start off slow. It starts off with a bang, with a song called One Big Happy Family. It's the story of how we don't really get along too well as a society. And much like I enjoy Alice for his clever turns of phrases and comments from time to time, Tony Okay also has a pretty good wit about him, and still one of my all-time favorite moments in this song. He's talking about the English hate the Irish and the Arabs hate the Jews, and keeps kind of going through all of this different thing. And they go, and the French hate everyone, but that's just part of being French, which I just love. And it hammers in. It's pounding drums. There's some serious guitar going on, and this thing just kind of rolls in a frenetic way to kind of start off about us being a happy family, but not being a happy family so much. Any thoughts on this song, Mike?
Quite a few, actually. So I, other than the couple of songs on the compilation, I didn't know too much about what I was getting into with this. I was actually surprised at this sort of like frenetic, like punk energy of this song kicking off the album, which is great. Anyone who remembers when we did our Alice playlist, Kelly chose a lot of first tracks on albums. First tracks on albums are really important to me as well. And this is something that really kicks things off great. I really enjoyed the lyrics. Like Kelly said, you know, just the clever turn of phrase, the same thing you kind of expect from Alice. One of the things that struck me, and this is something I made a note of, his vocal approach, which I wouldn't say is like shrill, but it's like an interesting sort of vocal approach on this particular song. Reminds me of an 80s punk band, late in the 80s though, called the Crucifux. And so the Crucifux were not really well known. They were well respected sort of in the punk scene, but they weren't really well known until later in the 90s, and particularly along the East Coast. I'm from Philadelphia. And long after the Crucifux had disbanded, their debut album, Crucifuckers, was reissued. And Crucifuckers, on the back of it, apparently on the original release and on the reissue, included a picture that was from a police training video. And that police training video was from the Philadelphia Police Department. And they weren't even aware of it the first time. But on the reissue, when the band had a little bit of history behind them, the Philadelphia Police Department sued the band Crucifux over this. And it was funny because I was just recently, someone had brought them up to me, and I hadn't thought about that band or listened to them in a long time. Nothing against them, just, you know, I listen to so much stuff. They were a band I hadn't revisited in a while. So hearing this, his vocal approach, the singer of Crucifux has a really like shrill sort of voice. This is not that, but his delivery put me in mind of that. And then when you get to the chorus and you kind of get hit with that like new wavy synth part on the chorus, I wasn't expecting that at all, but it was really cool. I really liked it.
Yeah, it's the interesting thing about Tonio is and we're going to see that basically when we go to the next song. There's a variety of approaches he takes. You will get some punk mojo. You're definitely going to get some new wave and almost an indie rock kind of sound to it.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I'm going to mention all of that stuff as we go through. But I was trying to, after listening to this album, I listened to a bunch of the tracks multiple times, and I listened to the entire album three times through. And the third time was today, and after listening to it, I was trying to think of how I would sum this up to someone else who is not familiar with Tony Okay. If I was going to recommend this record to somebody, the closest I could come up with is like, imagine if Bruce Springsteen wasn't complete fucking garbage, and listened to lots of like awesome punk and new wave and was influenced by that.
I definitely could see the kind of Springsteen cloning or melding into a couple other styles here, because you do get that. And actually there's one song on this album that people say actually tacks very close to kind of a Springsteen-esque thing-ish, but from Tonio, so it's still very different.
So, yeah, I don't know about you. I don't know how much we've ever gotten into this. I don't like Bruce Springsteen. So
I've had like zero. I don't have quite, to raise your fist and yell of my hatred for Bruce.
I barely do for Bruce Springsteen is a walking raise your fist and yell to me.
I've always just been kind of indifferent to him. I've never really found anything particularly compelling about his stuff. It hasn't been onerous to me, but at the same point, I'm not a fan. And this is a great section of this review to get those dislikes rolling in. I'm sure.
Fuck Bruce Springsteen. Also, I'm pretty sure we got our explicit tag by now.
I think we got a lock on that. I still am, on the hopes of one day I return to being able to monetize on YouTube. I still will create kind of a version when they do re-review my site many years from now to let me monetize again. I'm going to want to kind of have my versions of stuff in a way that they're like, well, you got nothing here we could ever advertise on. This front part of this episode is going to prove to be interesting.
First song.
Yeah. There was this band. I think it'll probably be this band. So we'll see how it goes from there. But
It's interesting, though, bringing up sort of the Springsteen thing, because I can hear that at certain points through this album. It makes perfect sense to me that people would make that analogy, but I hate Bruce Springsteen. But there are people who bring elements of that, I'm going to call it, like, just to oversimplify, like blue-collar rock into things, and I really like it when other people do it or bring elements of it into it. It's just Springsteen that I don't like. Like, I'm a huge fan of John Caffrey, who did the music most famously for the Eddie and the Cruisers movies. I'm a big fan of his stuff, and he's very much like Bruce Springsteen. And I listen to him and can't stand Springsteen. But this isn't like, I don't want to confuse anyone listening to it. This doesn't sound like a Bruce Springsteen record. This sounds like somebody who's got an element of that, but mixed with punk and mixed with new wave and mixed with indie rock. Like, this is a really cool blending of sounds.
And the blend begins as we move from this kind of crazy one big happy family, everything kind of going all over the place, spinning out of control, into Say Goodbye, which is almost kind of an R&B flexion of the past. And it's a duet with Tonio, and not so much a duet, but there's some backing vocals heavily featured by Ike Willis, who I'm a big Ike Willis fan. And Ike used to work with Frank Zappa quite a bit, and Ike was Joe in Joe's Garage. And
okay, I knew that name as you were saying. I'm like, why do I know that? Why do I know that?
Huge mountain of a man, big, powerful voice. And so you get this kind of intertwining of Tonio, which is a more edgier, blue collar kind of thing. And you get pure soul coming from Ike Willis. He's got just a wonderful voice, and having them kind of interplay and the various things they're saying goodbye to at the end of the song is good. This is actually co-written. Most of these songs are just written by Tonio K. This one was co-written by Nick Van Marth and Tonio K. And Nick Van Marth has a special place in the Tonio lexicon, because when you get to the tail end of this album, where there's a lot of growling and guttural noises, that's Nick Van Marth, who Tonio considers the best growler in the business. And so Nick does that. And Nick was also, I believe, the owner of the hamster Pope John Paul III, who is featured in an outtake track that we won't talk about today.
Well, he can be the best growler so long as I get to keep my title of professional screamer.
I think those are separate lanes, and you both can be masters of your art there.
Good, good. For anyone who doesn't know, I did guest vocals on someone's album once and was credited with professional screams.
That's pretty cool. Thoughts on Say Goodbye, Mike?
The first note that I have, I think, pretty much kind of sums it up. Dramatic shift in tone.
Just a bit.
It's a huge departure from the first song, but I loved that. Like, not that I wouldn't have appreciated a whole album with that sort of frenetic punk energy, but the fact that, right off the bat, you're kind of you make a great song, really kick things off well with the album, and you're not afraid to just take a huge shift song number two, not like work your way into it the way that some albums sort of ebb and flow and they have these peaks and valleys that they build towards. This is just a huge shift right away. I wrote this down, and maybe you're gonna think I'm crazy for this, but there's an almost like melancholic tone to this that put me in mind, it doesn't sound like it, but it almost reminded me of like Pet Sounds era Beach Boys.
Yeah, I think, you know, and it's interesting, these next two songs, we'll return to some more dramatic shifts shortly, but the next two songs kind of live in a bit of the same universe with, to me, Say Goodbye having a lot more of that wistfulness and melancholy to it. And I think kind of the Pet Sounds there is a good way to kind of tie that with a little more R&B than the Beach Boys typically brought to the table.
Yeah, I want to stress that it doesn't sonically remind me of the Beach Boys. It's more that sort of melancholic tone to it.
Yeah, and Ike kills it. And so that's just that, but it is, it's like, well, okay. So we're in a different place now.
Yeah.
I'm going to roll on into Sons of the Revolution, unless there's anything else you got on Say Goodbye.
No, that's it.
Okay. So as I just mentioned, Sons of the Revolution kind of still stays, you're not thrashing out on Sons of the Revolution. Still, the theme is kind of carrying through that things are not good and they're not getting better and we're pretty much screwed. But Sons of the Revolution becomes another bit of an angle on that. Plenty of some very cool organ in this. This is Tonio handles all the vocal duties himself on this. It's a little more dismal and pessimistic, where Say Goodbye is wistful, but it's another very well constructed song. And you do get this type of delivery, Tonio's voice is really fits it nicely. And it's got, you know, kind of a world weary kind of thing going on to it. It is probably on this whole album, my least favorite track, but this is kind of like I'm 18 being Mike's least favorite track on Love It to Death. It's like, okay, of all the stuff, this one might be the least, but it's just mostly because almost all these other songs have like this moment of complete magic in them one way or another, whether it's humor or just the overall context of the song. And this one is very, very solid and a very good song, but it just doesn't hit that home run at some moment in it to me where the other ones do. But don't get me wrong, I like this song a lot.
Yeah, it is really good. And it's kind of like you hit on something where it's sort of like playing in the same sandbox as the previous track, but where to me that was like melancholic. This is more jaded, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And this might sound really weird, but it has a conversational tone too. I mean, every one of these songs is kind of, you know, leading you along in a narrator sort of capacity. But this, to me, has more of that conversational tone. And again, just like the Beach Boys reference in the last one, it doesn't sound like this, but the conversational tone of it put me in mind of something like early Billy Joel records, where it sounds more like he's just talking to you and playing piano.
Yeah, I think that's a great observation. And you get that in the lyrics where he's talking about like Sons of the Revolution, you're here to save the day, but it ain't none of your business and you're only in the way. It does kind of come out as he's just basically having a dialogue with somebody. And it's just like I said, very cool kind of organ track too, and some stuff going on. Good song. Enjoy it. And it is very conversational. All right. So he's done talking on the next album, the next song. We're not going to have a conversation anymore. This is, to me, Tonio K at his best. The song is called Go Away. I love this song. It starts, so now we pick up, there's a little more snap. It's a new wave-ish kind of guitar thing going on to it. That's a pretty good riff. And this is basically a story of a former girlfriend coming back, trying to re-endear herself to Tonio, and he ain't having it. He's not buying it, and he wants her to go away. And there's a couple of, when I talk about those magical moments, there's just a couple of just really clever things, because the main chorus is, you don't think I don't know what your name is. You think that I'm blind. You think I'm fool enough to ever want to play with. You think I've lost my mind. And then he basically answers all those questions in the next part of the chorus. Well, I do, and I'm not, and I don't, and it won't matter if you stand here till the cows come home. And so I just found that such a kind of really kind of clever little moment in there, and it's built in there. If you don't, there's another very special little moment lyrically that we'll see if Mike brings up. If not, I'll cap it up here at the end. But I totally love that whole setup and response in the chorus. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I really, really like this song. And as soon as I think I was about halfway through it, my first note is probably Kelly's favorite song.
Close. I mean, I love this song. And the Murs Suite at the end is going to take the prize. But
oh, yeah. As soon as I got to that, I knew. But when I heard this, I was like, I understand and why Kelly loves this, because just, you know, from talking out the Alice albums, I know how you love, you know, and I do as well, but, you know, talking about like clever lyrics and turns of phrase, one of the ones that I wrote down for this was something to the, I sort of paraphrased here, but you're a spicy little number, but your mind's between your legs.
Yes, that was the lyric that I was going to mention.
Yeah, I wrote that down as one of the ones that stood out to me. And I was like, well, I'm, you know, as anyone who listens to us knows, I'm getting an Alice Cooper tattoo. So is Kelly 100%. But if I was going to get a Tony O'Kay lyric tattooed to me, just based off of this one album, that would have to be it.
There's some other stuff coming up for further consideration, which I'll mention. This is a great song. And it just, like I said, it's snappy and funny. And it's a shame because the inner lyrics during one section, he's like, and when that don't work, you start pulling rabbits out your hat and you're pretty good, but we're not amused. So would you kindly put them back? You drop some names that I once mentioned, thinking maybe I'll respond, but I've passed beyond all of that nonsense. What with the Arabs dropping bombs. And during that whole kind of section, what was planned was to have different things kind of shouted out by the band through this section, like Hugo Ball and a couple other things through there. And the lyrics actually reflect that. So you listen to the song and you're like, where's Hugo Ball? I don't hear Hugo Ball in here. But
I'm so glad you said that, because after I listened to this, I wanted to read the lyrics to it before we came on the show. And when I looked it up, that's the part that I saw. And I was like, well, these lyrics aren't right. And then just kind of closed it.
And I think it really would have worked, because I get how it would have fit in the song, but this song is pretty solid even without that. But it'd have been kind of cool to put them in. All right, now we'll go to Cinderella's Baby. So we actually kind of return again to a little bit of a softer register. This will be the last stop in the softer register for this album. But Cinderella's Baby is a beautiful song. Again, I'd say to your earlier point, kind of conversational. And it's a lot about, again, we're screwed. And in this case, he's kind of talking about, it's not going to be good. And, but it's got jadedness kind of again to it, again, and conversational, and it's a great ballad.
Yeah. It's a really good ballad. And like I said, this is a song, as soon as it started, I recognized it within seconds of the opening of the song. So I'm wondering too, because as we're talking, I pulled up the Tony O'Kay Wikipedia page, and we all know Wikipedia is the ultimate source of all true information, but it mentions that many of his songs have been covered before. So I'm wondering if maybe it's a cover that I was more familiar with, since, as we said, that it didn't seem likely this was a single.
I think that's a really good chance. And he actually did there are a number of covers of all over the place, from Tanya Tucker doing a song off of Life in the Food Chain to Hey John, actually, the song we'll talk about a little bit later. That one's been done a lot. He's had a number. And then Charlie Sexton, actually, he and Tonio have a relationship, and Charlie has done a number of Tonio songs, and actually Tonio's helped co-write some songs with Charlie.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if maybe it's a cover of the song I'm familiar with. But either way, this is a song that I am familiar with. But it's a really good ballad, like Kelly said. And it is, you know, it's back a little bit to that conversational tone. I wouldn't say quite as much, but it's back to that conversational tone. Just a really good ballad. And it's well placed in the album. Like, it's a little break. And like Kelly said, we're really not going to come back down to this register again.
Because it's time for him to kind of continue to stake out that we're in trouble, which is the next song, which was co-written by Earl Slick, who has done guitar work with David Bowie in the past. Earl also appeared on the first Tony O'Kay album as well. And Earl's a heck of a guitarist. And you get to hear how good a guitarist he is on Trouble, with this kind of droning guitar, that almost police siren-like guitar that runs through as kind of the backbone of Trouble. Where Tonio's talking about the communists, Muslims, and warmonger Texans are still trying to ruin my life. And he just kind of cranks through it. And the guitar basically being a siren wail through the whole thing. And just, I'm about to just keep looking for trouble. The good song. And I think it, you know, it kind of now kicks back in again. The theme, again, is not good, folks. Things are not good. This underlies it really well. I think it's a good guitar piece. And his vocal delivery on this is pretty cool, as he gets increasingly kind of concerned about how much trouble we're in.
Yeah, I absolutely love this guitar riff. As soon as it started, that's what I wrote down. Love this guitar riff. Right. right in the beginning of the song. It's so good. It's simplistic and repetitive and just super, super catchy. And it just hooks you into the song right away. Even if I didn't like the rest of the song as much as I do. And I do have one minor quibble with it, which I'll mention in a second, but that guitar riff is incredible. I love the way his vocals start. What I wrote down was in the opening kind of sounds, and I mean this in a really positive way, he sounds like a hungover Lou Reed.
I could get that from the beginning of the song, absolutely.
Like the delivery, and just in the beginning, like the delivery of those first couple lines, and then as the song builds, it's almost like, you know, his energy is kind of building with it. I just thought it was really cool. I thought it was a great vocal delivery. My only one tiny minor quibble on the chorus, they do a gang vocal, and I just don't like the delivery. Like, I feel like it should be more shouted than the way that they do the gang vocal in the chorus. This is a super, super minor quibble. It's a really nerdy kind of thing that I'm nitpicking here, but it's just because I love the song so much. And this is a song I listen to over and over and over again. And it's just the only thing that keeps the song from being absolutely perfect to me.
So I can see that. I didn't have as big of an issue with it, but if upon reflection with what you're saying, you know, he doesn't need any help on this song.
Right. I would have just dropped it or they needed to hit it harder than they do. That's all.
Yeah. Cause they don't match. Cause basically he starts drunk Lou Reed and the anger starts to percolate through him as the song goes deeper and deeper and it gets kind of reflected. But I hear what you're saying on that. The guitar riff is just perfect for this song. It's excellent.
Yeah. The guitar riff is excellent. The way his vocals build up with the tension, it's just so good. I just wish the gang vocal in the chorus just hit as hard as he does when he's hitting that chorus or just not, it's not even necessary to be there.
I would agree with that.
And again, super minor quibble.
So then we go to Girl Crazy. And this, so of this album, this was the one. So I like this song, as I kind of mentioned, like everything on this album. I enjoy this song quite a bit. Little concern in terms of for this whole thing where it was going to land with you, because this is solid. It's a good song. It's kind of starts off with kind of an acoustic guitar kind of thing to it, and it kind of builds up. There's some pretty cool lyrical stuff, musical stuff that goes on, chorus and all that kind of stuff. But it's the fluffiest song on this album.
I think you summed that up really well. Fluffiest song on the album. The only thing I would really kind of add to it, I don't dislike it, but what was really interesting to me, and you mentioned indie rock in the beginning, this sounds like, and this album came out in, what was it, 1980?
Yep.
So this is an album that came out 2 years before I was born, and this sounds like indie rock bands today. I have a friend who's really into current indie rock bands. This could be off of any of their albums. Just switch their singer for Tonio, and this is any current indie rock song, which just shows that this is an album that was very much sonically ahead of its time.
It's well crafted, and there's really absolutely nothing wrong with it, but there's a little more juice to everything else. But like I said, it's just good. And then, because it's kind of interesting, because you move it into I'll Buy It, and it's still kind of got some of that pep from Girl Crazy, but it's starting to kind of bring in a little bit more too of the Jade and all that kind of stuff. School's still in, but I'm still on vacation. Nice little set of lyrics there. And you start to, on that first One Big Happy Family, you kind of felt like, boy, this band's kind of being barely held together on the seams and things are going to spin out. And then things get kind of tight for a while. And then on I'll Buy It, you start to go, oh, you're starting to come out on the, you know, because you're starting to, it's starting to pull a little bit there. I would expect that in this one, it has the lyrical background punch you want on I'll Buy It, because they're all basically shouting I'll Buy It towards the end. But it's a good song. It is more, maybe a little more poppy, again, kind of like the darker cousin of Girl Crazy, but a great song.
Yeah, I really liked it. I wasn't quite sure where it was going to go when it started with that sort of like mock crying in the beginning.
Yep. Yeah, that's a little interesting.
Yeah, I really wasn't sure where it was going to go with that. And it was funny, after listening to this song, and this isn't, I liked it. It's not one of the ones I revisited over and over, but listening to it, I was kind of like, wow, I could see somebody almost like doing that today to mock like specific artists or genres of music. Because that's kind of where I thought it was going to go. Like, I thought this was going to be a confrontational, a more confrontational song than it was.
Yeah, and probably not tattoo material, but the night's still young and I'm still young and she's even younger than I am, you know, is
right.
Probably not good tattoo stuff.
But, yeah, no, that's going to be called evidence.
Yeah, that's probably, but pretty clever little set of lyrics. But,
it is.
And now, in the spirit of Mike's favorite artist, Bruce Springsteen, we come to The Night Fast Rodney Went Crazy. Which is a story about cars, guitars, and teenage violence, which is the subtitle of America. And this is about the story of Rodney, who steals a car and eventually crashes and dies. And his dying words are in German. It just rumbles along. You get the whole story of Rodney and Loretta and the breakup that kind of happens, and then Rodney hits the road and he dies, and his dying words are actually they're in German, and it's "your parents were Martians." So if you're wondering what those were, this, I guess, is just a really well-crafted song. On his first album, there's a song called "The Ballad of the Night That the Clocks All Quit and the Government Failed," which is about a 10 minute long song. And this is the Bruce Springsteen cover of that song, kind of tightened down, a little less Dada-esque, and a little more on Dada in a moment. But I think it's a rockin' fun song.
Yeah, it's a really fun song. You brought up the Bruce Springsteen thing, and this song, I think more than anything, sort of encapsulates what I was saying in the beginning of, like, this is like if Bruce Springsteen didn't fucking suck. And I might as well say fuck, we already said it like 50 times. And by we, I mean me.
You, yeah, pretty much.
Like, if Bruce Springsteen wasn't terrible and he was really into like punk and new wave, like this is almost like that Springsteen storytelling sort of song, but like a new wave band backing him and him not being terrible.
It is such a cool song and so fun. And I do that, you know, and there is reference to say, this is, you know, this has a Springsteen-esque flair to it without being kind of knockoff, but there is a wit and clever and storytelling thing that goes on here that is just not like a straight blue collar read on a guy. And it's got the Tonio panache to it. So it's fun.
And also, unlike my minor quibble earlier, I actually really like the background vocals that come in later in the song.
Yeah, because there's, again, a pretty good, because this just kind of keeps building and building, and the speed and everything's kind of going on. And then, as talking about the night fast Rodney went crazy and the dead and the injured ran out of luck, you start to get this kind of more produced backing vocal to it, which is actually, it does fit pretty well on there.
It put me in mind of like 1970s and 80s, like rock musicals.
Yeah, I think it's got, yeah, it almost, and you could, like a demented Meatloaf song, you know?
Yeah, Meatloaf. Perfect, because in my notes, I actually put Meatloaf and Rocky Horror.
Yeah, I think it kind of comes right into that space. So good song, really, really fun. And speaking of fun, now we get to what is, and Mike was right. Up until listening to this album, I was loving everything. Go Away was, that's good. You know, I'm going to go back and listen to that right away. I love that song. And then this thing comes rolling in, Mersuite. It's a medley of three songs. Let us join together in a tune. Umari and Futt Futt Futt. F-U-T-T, F-U-T-T, F-U-T-T. There's heavy growling, featured particularly in Let Us Join Together in a Tune. That is our good friend Nick Van Marth taking care of that. And basically what happens during the Let Us Join Together in a Tune is progressively the chorus and the song degrade down into where at the very end it's just barking and growling and whatever to the cadence of the chorus. And it just goes crashing then into Umori, which is kind of a little pause, and it's talking about, you know, it's sung in French, and he's basically saying Umori, which is kind of like ennui, but I'm an empty suitcase too, is basically his lyric in French there, and it's just this kind of little moment, and then this organ fires up, playing Futt Futt Futt, and you get this magical thing going on with the chorus, Futt Futt Futt, Futt Futt Futt, Bah, I Am Stupid. A little background, and then Umari kind of wraps it up there at the end. So this song goes like all over the place. Things decompose, recompose, and all that. Very, very Dada-esque in some ways. And at the very beginning of the song, they go, this one is for Mr. Sweeters, this one is for Kurt. when we get to the Fut 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 song. And what this comes from is Schroeder's is big in the Dada movement, and he had come up with this idea called the MERS stage. That's where the MERS from MERS Suite comes from. And the MERS stage is basically this idea that life is a play. So I'm going to put on a play called Life. And so basically on the stage, nothing much happens, but eventually everything happens. It's kind of the idea. And he wrote a soundtrack for his play, which included a sewing machine singing and an organ that played the notes, but, but. And so that's kind of where all of this came from. Tony likes to read his German writers and all this kind of stuff, and it makes its way in there. This thing is just a wild ride all the way through. When Fut 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 rolls into it, it's just some of the funnest little organ stuff you can get and the back. And again, things slowly descend into chaos again. So I just think this is a fun piece of music. It's something a little interesting to wrap your head around, but it's super fun to listen to. Your thoughts, sir?
So right off the bat, I'm a big fan of medleys. I don't know if you are as well. I think if they're done right, it's a really cool kind of thing to see a band, especially when the songs like this are not as similar as you'd expect. To watch them sort of weave in and out of them, if it's done correctly, I think is a great testament to a band. I love the way that this starts. This is almost like with the growling and everything, sort of like proto, you know, 90s metal, when metal started to get more extreme. So obviously that, you know, clicked for me. I really love all that. A lot of the energy on the first part of this reminded me of a band called Psychotic Symphony. Their biggest claim to fame. Have you ever seen the movie Bad Channels?
I have not.
So Bad Channels is a Blue Oyster Cult B horror rock musical.
Oh my, how could I have not seen this?
Oh, it's amazing. You really need to see this. And Blue Oyster Cult did the score to it. Charles Band, who got things rolling with Evil Bong, is the guy who actually made that movie. He directed that movie.
Oh, very cool.
That was a movie that I loved as a kid, and that's actually what got me into Blue Oyster Cult, was that movie. And Blue Oyster Cult, I guess, picked a couple other bands to contribute. They did the score and they did two or three songs for it. And then they had some other bands that they picked that were, you know, fit particular scenes, contribute songs to it and appear in the movie as well. One of those bands was Psychotic Symphony, who had a big live draw, but doesn't have much of a catalog of music. And their song that's on there is a favorite song of mine and some of my friends, that we listen to that song all the time. We've even talked about, initially as a joke, so we've actually even talked about recording a cover of it. And as soon as this came on, that put me, like, it's that same sort of energy to it, except I would say that this is actually like darker and almost heavier. And then when it goes into the middle section, not only as this sort of disintegrates, as you said perfectly, and, you know, starts to build into that middle section, it's a perfect segue for two parts that shouldn't fit together, and it works so well. And as soon as it was that segue, I was like, all right, this is Kelly's favorite song on the album. Like, I thought I had it up until that point, and I'm like, this is Kelly's favorite song on that album. I'm also a big fan, like I said, a big fan of medleys. I'm a big fan of longer tracks. This just hit every right note for me for exactly what I want out of something like this.
Yeah, and it's just so well crafted, because when the list joined together in a tune, I mean, he goes from 0 to 80 right at the beginning of the song, and as it gets into, it's back to almost some of the vocal stuff that was occurring in One Big Happy Family, and you just watch, you hear the growling a little bit at it, and it just keeps overcoming it more and more, to where at the tail end, the last time they go through the list joined together in a tune, it's just rah, 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 and it's just amazing. And then again, from a lyrical standpoint, in Fut Fut Fut, probably another one of my very favorite moments in terms of Tony Okay lyrics, he talks about, you're either A, an integral and valuable part of some master plan, or B, clearly as important as a dirt clod, or that can sing it out now, Fut Fut Fut. So I think the whole master plan dirt clod pairing was pretty cool and fun. And there's just a lot of cool stuff that goes on with this song.
Yeah, it's just a really cool song. It's a great medley. I like that the songs shouldn't fit together, and they just do such a great way. They do such a great job of crafting this particular track.
Yep. And fun fact, a high school wrestler, Kelly Tool, during practices Thanksgiving break, brought this album in to play while we had practice. And Butt, Butt, Butt was a huge hit. Everyone really liked it. So it was a good. Most of the other stuff, they were scratching their head, but they kind of liked the Merce Suite a little bit. So that was kind of fun from there. So that is the album that was released. And this brings the album to a good kind of clean close, kind of makes sense. But as Mike mentioned, he got a version tacked on to two other songs. I don't know if you want to mention those at all, or think you kind of covered that already. It's up to you.
Yeah, I think we more or less covered it. They're both really good songs. Like, if you go on iTunes now, you're going to get the 12-track version. Both really good songs in their own right. It's just, this makes a logical conclusion to the album.
Yep. And it's a fun one, folks. It's kind of a cool cover as well, which I guess that's one of the things we probably need to return to our Alice form and talk about the album art too. Maybe do that at the front end future shows. But this is a very strange album cover where there's the stylized Tony O'Kay name that is continues across all of his albums. It's kind of a block cursive kind of deal. It looks really kind of cool. It's Tonio wearing a kind of fake bird beak and a clearly well-worn, not borrowed, leather jacket and some jeans and America on it in cut out little ransom letters. And it's pretty cool. So I think it's a cover that catches your attention. You don't really know what's inside there, but you can tell this is a man that has thoughts.
Yeah, it's a cover that catches your attention, and it's a cover that makes sense for this album.
Yeah, I think, and this was, I don't know if this didn't really affect, I really love these first two albums by Tonio. Life in the Food Chain cover likely wouldn't have caught your attention as quickly, but this one's kind of fun, and it kind of sets the tone to say, hey, folks, something's wrong. I'm here to tell you about it. All right, there you go, folks. The first Music Prisoner Exchange from Mike and I, Tonio K's America. Next time we get together, Mike, you want to share with the folks what we'll be talking about?
We are going to be talking about the album Suicide by Vond.
And we'll be able to talk about that cover, too. I think that'll be it.
There's a few things to say about that cover. And just basically, you know, as a little sneak peek, it's a pretty upbeat toe tapper.
That's right. It's, you know, it could have finished with Fut, Fut, Fut. You know, it just, you weren't sure which album that came from, you know, upon... As I was prepping for both shows, re-listening to everything, I was like, okay, was that the Tonio song or is that Vaughn? But it's Fud, Fud, Fud is Tonio. So keep track of that in your notes, folks. Well, hope you enjoyed this. We're gonna do a few of these. It's we anticipated this was going to be fun. I officially declare it fun. So that'll be
I good. Love that. I officially declare it fun.
So even if you didn't have fun, Mike, I'm telling you, you had fun. We will be joining you again after a nurture of support in between us, where we'll be talking about Vaughn's album Suicide. So with that, thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
So it's...